Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is the Business and Oil page. Oil briefs. Diamondback braces for a 10% price jump. Shale driller Diamondback Energy Inc. is bracing for a 10% jump in cost next year amid supply chain snarls rippling through the oil industry. Although oilfield service companies have been upfront about the squeeze they're feeling from higher labor and material costs, the explorers that hire them have been largely mum, until Diamondback dropped a bombshell on a Tuesday morning conference call. Diamondback, a Permian-based focused driller whose ticker symbol is FANG, has more than doubled its market value this year and is one of the best-performing oil stocks in the S&P 500 index. The company pledged Monday to hold output steady through at least the end of 2022, despite soaring crude prices and worsening energy crises in Asia and Europe. That could change, however, if there's a change of heart among investors who have been disdainful of production increases, Chief Executive Officer Travis Stice said. If a company comes out and starts growing and gets recognized in the stock market for their growth, that's going to change the calculus for our board and how we allocate capital towards growth, he said. Shale driller vows to hold oil output flat as prices soar. Diamondback Energy Inc. just gave one of the first shale production forecasts for next year, and it's holding pat. Even as the market girds for $100 crude in 2022, the Permian Basin driller is pledging to hold oil output steady at roughly the same levels it's pumping in the current quarter. That means about 220,000 barrels of oil production in the world's busiest shale patch next year, assuming it can keep spending at the same pace, it said Monday in a statement announcing third quarter results. While oil service providers are struggling to contain record costs amid global supply chain snarls, their clients, such as Diamondback, haven't seen as much inflation. Diamondback even cut its capital spending forecast for the current year after efficiency gains helped it control inflationary cost pressures, it said. Shares fell 1.4% in aftermarket trading. Diamondback reports Q3 $649 million income. Midland. Diamondback Energy Inc., FANG, on Monday reported third quarter net income of $649 million after reporting a loss in the same period a year earlier. The Midland-based company said it had profit of $3.56 per share. Earnings, adjusted for non-recurring gains, were $2.94 per share. The results surpassed Wall Street expectations. The average estimate of 12 analysts surveyed by Zacks Investment Research was for earnings of $2.81 per share. The energy exploration and production company posted revenue of $1.91 billion in the period, also beating street forecasts. Seven analysts surveyed by Zacks expected $1.52 billion. Viper Energy reports Q3 $16.8 million earnings. Midland. Viper Energy Partners LP, VNOM, on Monday reported third quarter earnings of $16.8 million. On a per-share basis, the Midland, Texas-based company said it had profit of 26 cents. Earnings, adjusted for non-recurring gains, were 21 cents per share. The results beat Wall Street expectations. The average estimate of seven analysts surveyed by Zacks Investment Research was for earnings of 9 cents per share. The oil and gas company posted revenue of $128 million in the period, also surpassing street forecasts. Six analysts surveyed by Zacks expected $101.4 million. This article is entitled ConocoPhillips makes $2.4 billion in Q3. By Paul Takahashi, staff writer. ConocoPhillips' profits grew in the third quarter as coronavirus vaccines lifted economic activity and crude demand, bolstering the oil giant's bottom line. The Houston Independent producer on Tuesday said it made $2.4 billion in the 3 months ended September 30th, compared with earnings of $2.1 billion in the second quarter and a loss of $500 million a year ago. Third quarter revenue tripled to $4.1 billion from $1.2 billion a year ago. While we benefited from the constructive price environment, the quarter's important feature was that our underlying performance achieved our new baseline for ConocoPhillips post-Concho acquisition, CEO Ryan Lance said. The previously announced operating cost synergies have now been delivered. We continue successfully executing our core programs across every part of the business, and our returns on and of capital remain peer-leading. ConocoPhillips' strong earnings are another sign of the industry's recovery from the worst oil bust in decades caused by the global pandemic. Coronavirus vaccines have allowed business and travel activity to resume, raising demand for crude and petroleum products such as gasoline and jet fuel. ConocoPhillips, during the third quarter, announced plans to buy Royal Dutch Shell's Permian business for $9.5 billion cash in one of the largest shale acquisitions since the start of the pandemic. The deal, set to close this quarter, comes less than a year after the company put down $13.3 billion in stock to gobble up Midland-based Concho Resources. The moves have made ConocoPhillips the second largest player in the prolific Permian Basin of West Texas after ExxonMobil. ConocoPhillips produced an average of 790,000 barrels of oil per day during the third quarter, including 445,000 barrels of oil per day from the Permian, up from 435,000 barrels of oil per day during the second quarter. The company operated 15 drilling rigs and 7 hydraulic fracturing crews in the lower 48 states during the third quarter. The company during the third quarter funded $1.3 billion in capital projects, repurchased $1.2 billion of shares, paid $600 million in dividends, and made a $500 million deposit toward its Shell Permian acquisition. ConocoPhillips so far this year generated $11.1 billion in cash from its operations and ended the quarter with cash on hand of $10.2 billion. The company during the third quarter increased its quarterly dividend by 7% to 46 cents per share. This article is entitled OPEC Plus Expected to Ignore U.S.'s Calls to Increase Output This Week, by Grant Smith and Sharon Cho, Bloomberg. OPEC and its allies are expected to stick with plans for a modest increase in oil supplies this week, shunning calls from consumers to cool the price rally. The Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and its partners will probably ratify the scheduled December hike of 400,000 barrels a day when they meet on November 4th. Continuing their gradual revival of output halted during the pandemic, according to all 21 respondents in a Bloomberg survey. U.S. President Joe Biden has led calls from major economies for the group to open its taps more quickly, as the highest crude prices in 7 years squeeze motorists and threaten the global economic recovery with an inflationary surge. Brent futures are near $85 a barrel in London, whipped up by a global energy crunch centered in natural gas markets. But Saudi Arabia and others in the 23 National Alliance have pushed back, with producers from Kuwait to Kazakhstan issuing a rare flurry of statements in recent days extolling the need to remain cautious. Additional oil barrels would do nothing to alleviate the energy crisis when the real shortfall is in natural gas supplies, they contend. fuel demand remains vulnerable to ongoing outbreaks of COVID-19, and oil markets are in any case likely to return to surplus early next year, they say. "We're not out of the doldrums of COVID," Saudi Energy Minister Price Abdullah bin Salman said in a Bloomberg television interview on October 24th. "One needs to be careful also of taking things for granted when the crisis has been somewhat contained, but is not necessarily over." Several delegates from OPEC Plus nations have privately said they expect the group to press on with its original plan. Russia and the United Arab Emirates, who have often been keen to ramp up exports more quickly, have yet to publicly specify their positions. If OPEC Plus refuses to act more vigorously, consumers may take matters into their own hands. After a campaign of quiet diplomacy by a number of countries, Biden said on Sunday he's contemplating taking action, but wouldn't detail the precise steps. RBC Capital Markets said it believes the administration is prepared to tap the nation's emergency oil stockpiles. Japan took up the refrain on Tuesday, with Trade and Industry Minister Koichi Hajiude urging OPEC Plus to hold discussions to stabilize the market. He added that Tokyo is liaising with the Paris-based International Energy Agency, which oversees the multinational use of emergency oil reserves. Bloomberg's survey is based on replies from analysts, traders, brokers, and refiners in Europe, the U.S., and Asia. OPEC Plus has managed to surprise market observers several times over the past 2 years, increasing supplies when no change was expected, and vice versa, a trait linked to Prince Abdulaziz's fondness for wrong-footing speculators. Given the intensity of the White House pressure and from other key consuming countries like India, we certainly do not rule out that Saudi Arabia could indeed greenlight an increase beyond what's expected, said Halima Croft, RBC's head of commodity strategy. But for the time being, OPEC still seems intent to stay the course, she said.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, November 2nd, 2021. Education. Weekly feature on students to resume. The Reporter Telegram looks forward to running Students of the Week again on the education pages in the Tuesday Reporter Telegram and at MRT.com. Those organizations wanting to submit students must send the student's picture in a JPG file and bio information in Word file. Please send that content to sdoreen@hurstmp.com and put Student of the Week in the subject line. If an organization has nominees from earlier in the school year, please feel free to send as many honorees as needed to get us caught up. Contact Stuart Doreen at 432-352-0605 for more information. Auto Tech student's pledge to hard work helps him succeed. By Stacy Hewitt. Midland College automotive student Thomas Bolin embodies Mark Twain's famous quote, "Find a job you enjoy doing, and you'll never have to work a day in your life." "I've always loved tinkering with stuff," Bolin said. "I enjoy seeing how things work and how they run correctly. My dad used to be a carpenter, and growing up I helped him build houses. Now I do a lot of hands-on learning every day in MC's Automotive Technology program at the Advanced Technology Center. I get to meet a lot of new people, which is a great experience for me." Tom Bolin excels at MC while living with dyslexia, a disorder involving difficulty in reading and comprehending, and dysgraphia, a disorder involving trouble with writing. "My mom was a teacher, so she helped me a lot growing up. I'm from Monahans, and I ultimately decided to go to MC because it was close to home. Having dyslexia, it was easier being closer to home with my mom so she could help me with my schoolwork if I needed it." Thomas does not like school, and school has been very difficult for him in the past, his mother Candace admitted. "As a parent, I can say MC has been exceptional an exceptional thing for my child. When he took his first test, his first semester, and scored 100, I exclaimed, "Oh, print it and put it on the refrigerator." MC faculty and staff are so helpful, from the bookstore to the registrar's office. Everyone helped Thomas, no questions asked. This was an amazing experience since he was starting school during the very confusing time of COVID-19 in 2020. Bolin constantly sets himself up for success. He fondly remembers getting to class early just to connect with MC faculty, staff, and students. Bolin talked a lot about how these interactions and friendships helped him excel in school. I did not know much about cars when I started. I have to admit that at first I didn't really understand what we were doing, but I got involved. I stayed after class talking to my professors, like Mr. Pete Avalos. I would just get to know him better on a personal level, so it never even felt like I was asking for extra help. Whenever I caught on and knew what we were doing, professors like Mr. Avalos still stayed back and helped me because we knew each other better as people, as friends. This connection helped me understand course topics more clearly. I cannot say enough about the professors. They are amazing, Candace said. They give the students their phone numbers and say, "Call us if you need us," and they mean it. Thomas completed an internship this summer at Atlas Sand, completely outside of school, and when he had questions not even related to class, he texted his professors and they answered him. I really think the technical side of things at MC is for people like Thomas, who do not want to attend college, but they find their passion in a hands-on way. Thomas completed and will continue his internship at Atlas Sand, where he will work on ATVs, trucks, and heavy equipment. He's been able to apply and continue to apply the knowledge he has gained at MC to complete work on all the mobile equipment. Bolin was not only motivated to get a summer internship and drive the 2 hours round trip for 4 days a week, but also is so driven and ambitious that he received scholarships from Monahan's community to pay for his entire schooling. Tom has enjoyed MC's automotive program so much, he has a detailed plan for his future. "I have one more year in the automotive side at MC, and my plan is to go back and get my diesel license. Then I'm thinking about getting my airplane technician license to work on airplanes, so hopefully I can work on anything that is diesel or gasoline." Bolin has important advice for others who may live with dyslexia and dysgraphia. "Don't be scared. Take a step forward. Get involved and try it out. You do not know until you try at least once. Do not let a learning disability hold you back from the dream you are trying to chase, because it can actually help you a lot if you let it. It can turn into an ability if you go into something you love. You can overcome hardships at MC, no matter what it might be." Midland ISD honors exceptional students. Scholarship participants demonstrated high performance on National Merit Test. Midland ISD recognized the district's National Merit Scholarship commended students recently. These students have achieved exceptional academic prowess as demonstrated by their performance on the National Merit Scholarship qualifying test. The commended students are Andrew Maudachowski of Early College High School, Zane Calley of Midland High, and Jennifer Fisher, Gunnar Mead, and Trevor Van Huzen of Legacy. Photography more than a hobby for the MC coordinator. Catherine Primentine has lived in Midland her entire life. She began her career at Midland College in March of 2008 as the multimedia developer and is currently the marketing and communications coordinator. Primentine earned an Associate of Science degree from MC in 2004 and a Bachelor of Arts in Communication from the University of Texas Permian Basin in 2007. Her childhood hobby in photography blossomed into great part-time pastime. Primentine started her own photography business, Photos by Catherine, in 2007, and spends her weekends photographing family events and weddings so that people can cherish memories of special moments. Her home is filled with photos that she took of West Texas landscapes and family vacations. Primentine is married to Sean and has a daughter who is 12 and a son 13. Son 3. I've taken more pictures of my children than most people take in a lifetime, she said. We often take family trips with my parents, who also love photography, on our journeys. Once my mom and dad and I took over 5,000 photos in Canada in one afternoon. How did you get involved in education? I joined the team at MC because I love being a part of the college's commitment to the community. I'm very involved in the Midland community, having joined the Junior League of Midland in 2008 and serving as Rays of Hope, Shotguns and Stilettos, Family First, and as a professional trainer for the organization. I also find satisfaction in helping as a Girl Scout leader for a group of 12 girls who are learning leadership skills that will serve them for a lifetime. The Girl Scouts honored me as a Woman of Distinction in 2016. One of my greatest joys comes from volunteering my photography skills for numerous nonprofit agencies and fundraising events, such as the American Cancer Society's Roundup, Centers for Families and Their Children, the Girl Scouts, and Fishers of Men. What is your favorite thing about Midland College? There's definitely a family atmosphere at Midland College. We care for each other and support one another both professionally and personally. We work together and have fun together. Daily, I get to see students grow and flourish, and I enjoy helping them in their college endeavors. I love following the Chaps and the Lady Chaps sports teams and their successes as they compete and win.
Can one survive on the castaway diet? To your good health for Saturday. Dear Dr. Roach, in the movie Castaway, the main character survived over 4 years on a deserted island, supposedly eating various seafood and coconuts. How realistic is that? What health issues might develop from vitamin deficiencies with such a diet? Dr. Roach writes, perhaps surprisingly, I don't think the movie was unrealistic in its portrayal. Raw fish has a very wide range of nutrients, and supplementation with at least one plant, coconuts, would help with other micronutrients, including vitamins. There's enough vitamin C in raw, but not cooked, fish to prevent deficiency. It's not an ideal diet for most people, but people can certainly survive on it. You may have noticed that Tom Hanks' character became extremely lean, which is what would be expected to happen with such a diet.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Break exercise up or do it all at once. Both are valid options. Dear Dr. Roach, I am a 68-year-old woman in good health, but I am overweight. For the past few months, I have been vigilant about keeping track of my diet and have been walking 13,000 to 14,000 steps each day. I have lost enough pounds to be noticeable. About half of my steps are on a treadmill. I started at 2.5 miles per hour and gradually increased to 2.8 miles per hour. I usually walk between 2 and 2.5 miles at a time. I find that I do not start to sweat until I have passed the 1 mile mark. My question: would I get as much benefit if I divided my treadmill walks into two sessions, or should I continue to walk 2 to 2.5 miles at a time? Answer: congratulations on your exercise. That's a big investment in your health, and I am glad it is paying off for you in being able to lose a few pounds. Regular exercise of any kind improves a person's health and reduces the risk of developing many chronic diseases, even without a single pound of weight loss. So I always tell people not to get discouraged if there isn't any weight lost. Breaking your exercise session up is perfectly fine, and you should get just about the same overall health benefit from breaking it up as doing a single session. Many of my patients find it easier to break up their exercise sessions into 2 or more sessions a day. Whatever works best for you and that you will keep up with is best.
This is the Dear Abby column. Intolerance emerges as obstacle to friendship. Dear Abby, my 23-year-old daughter is dating a transgender woman, Holly. My family is accepting and we love Holly. However, she has been met with varying levels of acceptance from some of our friends. Recently, one of them, Gina, invited our family to an upcoming poolside barbecue at their home. Gina's mother, who lives with them, told my daughter she should bring her girlfriend. Normally, Holly would not accompany us as she works odd hours, but she happened to have this day off. Gina and her mother are accepting, non-judgmental people. Gina's husband is not. I don't like him, but I tolerate him for Gina's sake. My main concern was Holly's safety and well-being, but she wanted to come despite knowing what he's like. When I called Gina to make sure he wouldn't make trouble, she told me she didn't think it would be a problem, but she would give him a heads up. She called me right back afterward, extremely apologetic, saying he reacted very badly, and she didn't think it was a good idea to bring Holly. I think she was more than a little naive about her husband's ability to accept Holly, but I know it's not her fault, and I'm not upset with her. However, I am left with an awkward situation. My daughter wants to stay home with Holly now, which I'm fine with. I told Gina weeks ago that I would attend her party, but now I feel like I'm betraying my daughter and Holly, and I'm not looking forward to being around Gina's husband at all. I honestly am not sure what the right thing to do here is. Any advice would be welcome. Signed, Progressive Mom in the South. Dear Mom, the right thing to do would be to follow your heart. In this sad situation, that would be conveying your regrets to Gina, and in the future, seeing her apart from her husband, who you can't stand anyway. Dear Abby, my son recently found out he has a school-age son. I'll call the boy Billy. Billy has stayed overnight with me and gone on several outings. Billy's mom has another child who is slightly older. During our last visit, Billy's half-brother asked me if he could come next time. I responded with, "We'll see." When I spoke to my husband about it, he said, "You don't want to start something." I agree with him. I have no responsibility toward the other sibling. I enjoy being with Billy, but I'm concerned about the animosity his half-brother might feel toward Billy because he has to travel with his mother when Billy visits. Signed, Billy's Grandma. Dear Billy's Grandma, I strongly disagree with your husband's advice. If you see Billy and habitually exclude his half-brother, you will start something. And the something you start will be hurt feelings and a troubled relationship between those siblings. If you can't find it in your heart to sometimes include the other boy and treat them both with love and kindness, don't see either of them. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.